It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Good morning. I want to start off here. I want to jump right into the fire. I was noticing on the video, do I look small when I'm down here like this? Should I stand up taller? Would I look better if I'm up? Would I look better if I'm back farther? I've got to figure out how you guys used to be getting in your face. I love the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you why I love the Holy Spirit? I love the Holy Spirit because it tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. We live in a world of universal confusion going on right now. Morning, John Brockoff. Good to see you. There are two things that I don't know if anybody else is really picking up on that I want to pick up on real quickly here, coming right out of the chute. I thank God for the coronavirus scare. I thank God for it. Because there, if we will look and see, there are two, at least two, and probably if we were to get our thoughts together, we could come up with more than two things that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us right now today, if we'll pick up on it. I don't know if we will or not. So that's why I'm going to lay them out before you and let you think about it, take some comments about it. Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. I got Galatians 5, Connor. Maybe you can get that ready because I'm going to go to Galatians 5 here in a moment. I think it's important. But number one, let me say this real quick. Larry Richardson was right about mortgages. Now, I don't know if some of you know this. If Larry spoke mainly about it in the after show, I can't remember. But Larry said that we need to come up with some type of movement during this coronavirus to cancel mortgage payments. And Larry, I saw the first somebody's poking at that. I saw that yesterday. You were calling that thing about 2 weeks ago, being this, meaning what? That if they do all this closing down the government thing, if all this happens, then all mortgage payments are going to be put on hold. There was somebody, I can't remember where it is, Larry, but I want you to know that you were right on that one. But here's two other things that I think that are great, great exposés. And I don't know if we're going to be able to move forward with them or not, because I just don't know how people think. Number one, Ohio State University led the way in closing down the school. Now, what do you mean by closing down the school? I mean this. An issue came from our governor. By the way, Mike DeWine is the governor of Ohio. Folks, he was John McCain's best buddy. All right? He used to be John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Mike DeWine. And now he has weaseled himself around, and he's now governor of the state of Ohio, Mike DeWine. So Mike DeWine, he's been one of the most panic-stricken, what I would call panic-stricken guys in regards to this whole coronavirus. And folks, let's be honest, okay? These guys are making political decisions. They're making political decisions on the side of caution, because whatever happens at the end of this thing, they want to be able to say that they were out in front of it and they did the right thing. These are political decisions, okay? But they did something yesterday. The Ohio State University, going back 3 days, the largest university in America, Ohio State University. On campus are about 60,000 students at Ohio State. That's just on campus in the area in Columbus. 60,000, that's a city. Well, the governor issued the fact that, and forced the hand, I suppose, of those at Ohio State University, that Ohio State University would have a no more classes, except that's not what they said. They said no more in-person classes. Okay, so what does that mean? So, well, the professor will give everybody like this. It'd be like a Google Hangout. And we're going to have class today, but we're going to have class on Google Hangout. So your chemistry class, all 30 people in the chemistry class are going to, they're going to gather with the professor, and they're going to have chemistry, and they're going to do that for at least till the end of March, is what they said. All right. And I thought, Lord, thank you, Jesus. What an opportunity. Hear me. End of college as we know it. It's the end of college. It could be the end of college as we know it. Why should parents have to send their children to universities, spend all that money when they could sit right at home in their living rooms and get the same education?
Can you say reset button?
Huh? Is this unbelievable? Is this, if we will pick up on it and understand exactly what's going on, see? Now I've seen that there's a lot of other universities that are doing the same thing. So they have proven by their own behavior that the idea of gathering all the kids together is no longer necessary, including high school, including elementary school. Do you understand it? Do you understand what a beautiful thing this is? Of course you don't, because we don't think that way, do we? That's why I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, will somebody pick that up and run with it? That remains to be seen. Second issue that we're not seeing very much of, and folks, this is so huge. My son-in-law runs a business. He owns some Jimmy John restaurants. And he was down here yesterday. Down here, it sounds like. He walked down the hill, drove down the hill yesterday, picking up the grandkids. We, Michelle and I, were watching the grandkids, and I brought up the idea of the Donald Trump has recommended, are you ready? He's recommended payroll taxes be suspended to help people get through this mess. Whatever this mess is going to be, Donald Trump says, let's make it easy on people because the economy is wavering a little bit. Donald Trump said, let's do away with payroll taxes for the next rest of the year is what he said. Now, folks, you know what payroll taxes are? You understand what Donald Trump's saying? Donald Trump says, let's give people their entire paycheck. Let's not take taxes and Social Security out of their checks. Let's not do that. I want to ask you something, folks. If they were to do that, how long would it take for America to wake up and realize just how much they are paying an income tax? Because the truth be told, most people have the money taken right out of their paycheck. And then when they overpay, they get it back at the end of the year and they think it's a savings account and they don't get it. But if you get a paycheck that normally is $500 every week and all of a sudden you're bringing home $250 every week, you're going to say, holy smoke. Can you see, folks, come on now. Can you see the opportunity for the doing away permanently of the payroll tax and the Fed and the reset? Folks, there's something happening here. All right? Now, understand this, that in the midst of every one of these calamities, whatever they call, lies great opportunity. And I think we would be foolish, extremely foolish. Rahm Emanuel said that we never let a crisis go to waste. Right? That's what he said. And so here we have a situation where there can be all kinds of new things implemented that we would never have been able to implement under a different set of circumstances. So I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I happen to be one of those. Sorry. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think there's a reset coming. I think maybe the world as we know it is about to change. But I'm sorry. I don't have on my evacuation suit. I don't think we're getting out of here. Individually, we might. Individually. But there's something happening. We have to pull back and ask ourselves this. What is going on? Polly put up there, payroll taxes are, for those of you who don't know, when you get paid on your paycheck, of oldest guys, we know this, right? But the average person, by the way, I didn't finish what my son-in-law said. My son-in-law said he runs a business. Taking away payroll taxes would save him $16,000 a year. His portion, I want you to think about that, folks. That's $1,000 a month, a little over $1,000 a month. He has to pay for Social Security, yada, 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 into the system. He could lower the price of his sandwiches, couldn't he? What? Maybe at some point we could get back to normal living not compliant upon the government. Polly said payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare taxes, otherwise known as the FICA, federal tax, and a federal tax is an employee tax, meaning both you and your employees will contribute to it. Income tax is made of federal, state, and local income taxes. Stuff all going. Now, I don't know about state taxes. Local, I don't know if they would be able to do that. But if President Trump could get Congress to say no payroll taxes, you say, well, what are we going to do? We're in broke. How are we going to pay the bills? That shows how stupid we are. The money we pay does not fund the government, my friends. It doesn't fund the government. Check it. I wasn't prepared, or I'd had facts for you this morning. So we're in Galatians, aren't we? Did I say that? Does somebody want to come in? Larry, look like maybe
you want to. Yeah, Coach, but before you go to Galatians, it's an opportunity once again for the sake of the country and the Holy Spirit having opportunity to work. Please, folks, keep pushing the video the Holy Spirit gave me a couple of days ago. Keep pushing it, because it is espousing exactly what Coach just said. This is an exciting opportunity for reset buttons to be pushed. And we've got to, those of us who understand the working of the Holy Spirit, have got to push this concept forward.
Folks, do you understand this? Do you understand that globalism is dead? Do you understand that what we're seeing right now is the death of globalism? Do you understand right now that the Democrat Party, for whatever reason, will not come out for the closing of our borders? They're shutting down the universities. They're shutting down basketball games. They're shutting down everything. But they will not shut down the borders. Why? Because they are wedded to open borders. We are seeing the death of globalism. Say, what are you talking about, Coach? All of our medicine is made in China. China closes down. What happens to the United States? We're going to see over the next several weeks and several months the results of the closure of China, the shutting down of China. It's going to affect us in our supply chain. And so if we're smart enough, we will say all those jobs that Obama and Bush Jr. and Clinton, all those jobs they sent overseas because they could get cheap labor, all of those jobs, we're going to wake up. The pharmaceutical companies are going to wake up and say, listen, we can no longer farm those jobs out, because look what happened when we, oh my goodness, what a wonderful, exciting time to be alive. Folks, there's something happening here. There's something really, really big going on. And could Donald Trump use this to break that, what do we call it? What's that thing? The Federal Reserve System. Could he use that right now? Could he automatically orchestrate that can somebody tell me where they have to take taxes out of your check? Where do they get the right? First of all, they have no right for income tax. Hang on a second. Where do they get the right to take the money out of your check and give it directly to the government? And people will wake up and understand what's really going on there. Come on in, whoever it was. It's you, Brian.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, yep. I want to answer your question. People were saying about what are they going to do, how they're going to fund the government. The thing is if you have more money from your paycheck, you're going to spend more money. And then you're going to end up with the taxes from the products that you buy and stuff. That is what stimulates the government.
Yes, sir. There's something going on here, isn't it? There's something going on. So I was led this morning before I even came down. Jared, you're in Galatians. I know. Jared, let's drop down to about 16, maybe it is. By the way, if I had time, I would read this. Hang on. Stay right there. Folks, listen. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has set us free. He set us free from fear. He set us free from death. Christ has set us free. And Paul tells us right here, stand fast in that liberty. When everybody else around you is going bonkers and they're closing down schools, they're closing down, stand fast in that liberty and don't entangle yourself again with that yoke of bondage. Fear is bondage. I would like all of you to go ahead and read about that, because he talks about that. I'm going to go down to about 16, I think it is, Jared or Connor, whichever one of you guys are pulling at. Scroll down. There it is. verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now hang on, it doesn't say you're not going to be tempted. Doesn't say that you're not going to jump on Facebook and scroll through there and see things that catch your eye and look at them. He said, don't do that, man. No, no. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot, do you see that word? Underline that word, Connor or Jared, whoever is pulling the string, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's verse 17, the bottom. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot do them. You cannot do them. Why? Because the Spirit and the flesh are lusting against each other if you are not walking in the Spirit. But verse 18 says, if you are led of the Spirit, then you are not under that law. Now, what law would that be? Well, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sins, it shall die. That's the law of sin, the sin of death. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law anymore. Because why? The Spirit's not going to lead you into deadly things, right? It's not going to. So if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of sin and death. The soul that sins, it shall die. You are, if you're under the Lord, already a dead man. You are already free. You are already, folks, you are as alive now as you will ever be. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, death has no grip on you anymore. And the only thing that can happen to us, the worst thing that can happen to us, is that we would be made miserable in this world in which we live. That's the only thing it can do, because it tells us this, that the works of the flesh are obvious, manifest, or show up. Manifest means to show up. This is how you see it. Works of the flesh are obvious, and there are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. You feel any strife right now because of the coronavirus? Seditions, heresies, idolatry, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that if you're doing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Stop a minute. Oh, I'm sorry if I'm yelling a bit this morning. Please hear this. I also tell you in the past that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, that doesn't mean go to heaven. Where is the kingdom of God? Why, the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you're doing all of those things up there, you're not going to be able to walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. This is talking about right here, right now, not future. It's kingdom principles. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to turn this thing on anymore. Okay? I am so sick of hearing about the coronavirus. It's all that is on the news. It's all that I was listening to Rush Limbaugh yesterday as I was out doing some work, and I listened to him for a couple hours, and it was amazing. At the bottom of the hour and the top of the hour, news breaks, it was the same thing. The coronavirus, over and over and over. I refuse to let that steal my joy. I ain't going to do it. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance, and against such there is no law. What law? Let's go back to that law again. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death. I will not walk around focusing on death. I refuse to live like that. I refuse to live like it. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You, if you have received Christ, you are a dead man. Quit being controlled about by fleshly issues. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Okay, let me back up a minute, because I'm going to, Jared, go back up to verse 22. As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not heaven. If you envy, you're in the flesh. You're not in the kingdom. If you're a murderer or drunk or reveling, you are not walking in the Spirit. You are not connected to the Spirit. Go up to 20, Jared. If you are find yourself and you are caught in idolatry, witchcraft, what idolatry? What? You're all your children, the Buckeyes, pick whatever idolatry it is, your computer, Facebook. If you are doing that, idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife and sedition, you're walking outside the kingdom of God. And he says, those who do this, adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness, dudes, you are outside the kingdom of God. But if you walk in the Spirit, you are in the Spirit, and those things have no control over you. So the idea, please get this. These are not things that are going to prevent you from going to heaven, although they will. But more than anything, they're going to steal your love and your joy and your peace and your long suffering and your gentleness and your goodness and your faith and your mercy. You get it? You get it?
I laugh
at the coronavirus. I laugh at it. I'm walking in the Spirit. It has no power over me. If it takes me, I'm in heaven. Yes, Rod.
Well, I think that is the simpleness of the Holy Spirit that moves in us to give us an uneasiness in our life when we are doing these things. I think in my own life, my own testimony, when I look at that grouping, the uneasiness that comes in my life, or shame or guilt or lack of peace, when I'm participating in something, some of those things. And it makes perfect sense. God says, listen, you're going to be uneasy, worries, fearful when you're doing these things. I'm just telling you, so stop doing them and then peace will return.
Amen. So let's ask ourselves this very simple question. What makes you mad? And do you become almost irrational when you're angry? And I think the answer would be, yeah, I do. I really do become almost irrational. I say things I wish I hadn't said. I think things I wish I hadn't thought. I do things I wish I hadn't done when I'm angry, right? But understand this, that anger is a secondary emotion. Anger comes from fear. So if I say to you, Roger, you got to get off your butt and get out and go to that abortion clinic. If you've never done that, Roger, there's a fear that comes over you. And if I keep pushing you to do it, what's your response? You get angry. Anger is a secondary emotion to fear, right? So what do we have to do? Conquer that fear, walk in the Spirit, and the anger has no control or no power over you. So just do a little research on your own. What makes you mad? What do you find yourself getting mad about? And then ask yourself when you're angry, why am I mad? Who am I mad at? Because I can promise you this, if you can connect what's causing your anger, it's going to give you a great window into who you are.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
One more thing about anger. If you look at 2 Corinthians 2, you will find that anger, there is a righteous anger that is a part of the repentance process. What makes you mad? It should be those things of evil that you used to do that you've repented of. That's what's supposed to make you angry.
Sin in general. Sin in general, Larry, should make us angry, right? It should make us angry. My sin and others' sin. Folks, listen, I know this is going to be hard for you. It's going to be, whoa, my wife snuck down here and scared me. I know this is hard for us to understand. Oh, thanks, sweetheart. I'll put that right there. See, she broke my concentration, broke what I was trying to say there. I know what it is. Again, the church teaches us not to be angry. Folks, it says don't let your son go down on your wrath. Deal with things that need to be dealt with and ask yourself, why are you angry? My friends, please hear me. Our government is wicked. Our government is wicked. It's wicked. People in Washington, D.C. that they call the deep state are wicked. They're wicked. They're wicked. And that they're forcing. Come on now. How many of you are having money problems? And how many of you are having money problems because the government is taking so much of your money? Think of that. That's why that payroll tax idea is, wow, you mean I can have more money without having to do more work? What? You mean I don't have to send my wife off to do jobs? See, it's being forced on us. It is unrighteous, unholy, unconstitutional, and illegal for them to do that, folks, despite what they might tell you. So at what point do we begin to push up and walk in the Spirit, walk in kingdom principles, and shrug that stuff off? If the church, just the church, again, began to stand up and say no to payroll taxes would go away. By the way, real quickly, that's what my wife walked down. Chance at American Survival Wholesale. Chance called me yesterday. They have plenty of survival food. He must have been listening to the show, and I didn't make it clear. They don't have any like meat products, like chicken, and they don't have any of that. But they got all kinds of fruits and vegetables that can store for a long period of time. American Survival Wholesale. And Chance called me yesterday, and I promised him that I would make that clear. Long-term food storage. If you're looking for stuff, there's where you can get it. And he has plenty of that stuff. I want to get that in there. Okay.
All GMO-free.
Pardon me?
All GMO-free. No GMOs.
All GMO-free. And that's what I asked him. I said, Chance White, I didn't mean to switch gears on you so fast right there in the middle. I said, well, Chance, can you get any more beef, chicken? He says, well, Coach, you know, it's not that easy. Because ours is GMO-free and our cattle are corn-fed. And ours is pure food. And so he said the idea that now that we're out, and he is out, he said now that we're out, the idea that we can just go restock, he said nobody has any. So this food, he said probably at least June before they could get some real actual beef and chicken and some of those things that they'd normally be carrying. So I'm not telling you to go to Chance and buy stuff, but I'm trying to tell you, get prepared on something. Okay, I got kind of off track there. Back in Galatians. You get the idea of what I'm trying to say there? Yeah. Is it anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Come on in.
Hey, Coach, taxes, right? 1913, we got tricked. Taxes are supposed to be paid by corporations, not people.
That's right.
Right? There was a swindle. It was a simple swindle. The corporations and the government got together and says, why don't we just put the taxes on people and they can't fight us and they'll have to pay them. So think about this. If Wall Street paid 1% transaction tax, they could pay the taxes for all of us for 20 years after 1 year. Mm-hmm. 1% transactional tax on transactions, stupid transactions.
See, folks, the only taxes that they're allowed to take is what they call, they're not allowed to do a direct tax, meaning they can't tax you for working. And they can't do that. Folks, please hear me. They can't do that.
So, well, they'll go end up in jail.
Well, yeah, you will. But they can't do that to you. All right? The only tax that they're allowed to tax is like what they would call maybe excise taxes, like sales tax. That's okay. That's okay because you don't have to buy something, right? Well, you do, but that's okay. So they put a 20% tax on everything that you buy. That okay, That's different because you have some control over that. But to tax your labor, that is, they can't do it. And we've just been living under this false system for so long. That's why I said if President Trump would be able to get the payroll tax eliminated, how long would it take for Americans to wake up and say, look how much they're taking out of my paycheck? What's going on? Only to find out that Social Security isn't there. And then when you start paying, then when you start saying that we're paying money for the people coming across the border, then it'll make sense to them. They'll say, stop that. I believe that God is working all things together for good. That's Romans 8, I think. I got that as something to read here today. Somebody else, come on in. I'm feeling this today, folks. Folks, I'm over the target today. I'm telling you, I'm over the target today. Come on in.
Well, nobody else will. Let me say this. What you've talked about is about the Holy Spirit leading our lives. Well, the first part of the way Jesus taught us to pray is his will to be done. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to follow his directions of his Holy Spirit. The last part of the way he taught us to pray is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's the part you talked about veering off into sin and stuff. The Holy Spirit, if you believe God answers prayer and you're praying the way he taught you to pray, then you're not going to go off into sin. Because his spirit's not going to lead you there because you ask him not to in prayer. Guess what? If you end up in temptation, God's spirit didn't lead you there. You led yourself there.
You chose to go there on your own, brother. See, because if you walk in the spirit, what's it say, Galatians? If you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because why? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the things that you can see and feel and touch and taste and love, those things are tangible and you can touch them. But see, that doesn't have impact on you if you walk in. Let me give you an example. I was thinking about this when Michelle and I were walking through the airport the other day. We were in Dallas. And, you know, I'm like anybody else, and I'm sure Michelle's like anybody else. When you walk around, you're looking at people. You're looking at the fat people and you're looking at the skinny people. You're just looking around. And I look around and I cannot believe how many women are now wearing those skin tight yoga pants. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Trust me. Some big women that shouldn't be in skin tight yoga pants. That Walmart crew. You with me? I'm noticing all of this. And so, you know, then I sit down and you watch people walk by you and you just do people watching and I look at it. And you know what I realized? You guys are going to think this is corny. You'll think this is corny. I'm sitting there watching these people walk by me and I got this great flood of love for my wife. It was really kind of weird. She's sitting right beside me. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching all these girls go by and these young girls and their boobs, you know, the boobs all tight and the skin tight pants. It's hard for a man to sit there and not lust. But you know what I did? I sat there and I thought, God, Lord Jesus, Michelle could easily put on those kind of pants and she could turn some heads at 64 years old. She's a sweet looking woman. And I thought, man, I love her so much. Because she's so modest. God, I love her. Because she has a deep beauty that makes me not desire another woman. I don't want anybody except my wife.
Amen, Coach.
Now, what does that mean? Thanks, Vinny. Now, I believe that's walking in the Spirit. And I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I see these girls come by with these yoga pants on so tight you can see their camel toe. You know what I'm talking about. And my thought is, first of all, I don't stare at it. My thought is, God, thank God my wife's modest. I thank God my daughters don't walk around like that. I thank God for that. And so you think about guys and our temptations that are always out there. Don't women know? Oh, boy, right wing watch will pick this one up and run with it. Women bait men. There's no other excuse for why women dress the way they dress rather than they are throwing out bait. This will appear on Right Wing Watch. Mark that down right now. This will appear. But those of you who go sit in an airport and you ask yourself this, are these women dressing so they will be oogled or not? They cannot pull those pants up as tight as they do and not be thinking about people looking at them. I say they do it because they want people looking at them.
Without a doubt, Coach. Without a doubt. Why would you listen? You know they're in front of a mirror before they leave. They know exactly what they look like.
That's right.
It's not a question.
So, what's the point I'm making? Walking in the Spirit, when I look at those girls, I ain't dead. I see it. But I bounce my thoughts to my wife. And how glad I am that she doesn't parade it like that. Right? You with me?
Hey, Coach, let me throw in a fast point here. You ready?
Yeah.
This is why these freaks have to dress women in hijabs and cover them up, because they can't control themselves. Mm-hmm. They can't walk down the street. If they see hair, they got to go rape somebody.
Amen.
Listen, we're never going to have rape gangs here in America because we aren't going to put up with that crap.
Well, we used to have the day, Vinny, where we taught our daughters, no. We told our daughters, say no. If you got pregnant as a girl, it was because you failed morally. Now, listen, I understand the man did as well. But we used to teach our girls restraint. We don't teach it anymore. It's not restraint anymore. It's a smorgasbord. Folks, let's wake up here to what's going on, right? So the ability, the need now more than ever to walk in the Spirit. What's it say, Jared? And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let me give you another one. Something else that has changed my life. I haven't said much about this. I've been on since the first of the year, I've been on what they call intermittent fasting. Did what? Yep. And what? Because I have a lifestyle of fasting. It's not unusual for me to fast. At the first of the year, I looked at a Christmas picture and I thought, who is that fat guy with my wife? And I realized it was me. And I said, that's not fair to her. That's not fair to her. For me to have that big belly, that's not fair to her. And I want to get healthy. It's not fair to me. She wants me around a few more years. Got to take care of myself. So I came across this thing called intermittent fasting. You can look it up on the internet. But here it is in a nutshell. I do not eat. I have about a four-hour window during the day when I eat whatever I want, basically. So from like 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 at night, I eat. Now, I watch what I eat still, but I'm allowed to eat anything I want to from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Then I do not eat again from 6 o'clock when I go to bed. I don't go to bed at 6 o'clock. I don't eat again from 6 o'clock until 2 o'clock. I skip breakfast and lunch and then eat again. And the most amazing thing has happened. I'm not hungry anymore. I'm not hungry. The weight's coming off and my body has readjusted to my new lifestyle. There's no other word to call it other than lifestyle. And you can do some Googling on the internet. I'm not going to go through it now. I'm just trying to help some of you out there that want to try to do it. You can condition your body. You can tell your body when to eat, when not to. We do not have to be controlled by our flesh, our desire to eat. I don't need 3,500 calories a day. Why am I eating 3,500 calories a day? Why do I do that? Well, the intermittent fasting then gives the body time to break down. I'm not trying to give you a sign. I know a lot of you out there struggling with weight. I know you are. I'm telling you, it works. And not only does it work, it gives me the opportunity that when I'm hungry at 10 o'clock in the morning, I can pray. I can call out to the name of the Lord. So he can sustain me. I develop a a spiritual discipline. Say, look at my watch. No, it's 11 o'clock and I want a piece of candy. No, I don't eat until 2. It develops a spiritual discipline. So all of these things that we're talking about, pornography. Hey, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you this. You can break that pornography. Maybe it's not an addiction yet. You can break it. You can. You just got to set your mind to it and put limitations on it and say, I'm not going to, or do this. How about this? Say, I'm only going to look at porn between 2 and 6. That would stop it right away, right? That would stop it. You can quit smoking cigarettes. Hey, Jeff, just say, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette except between 2 and 6. Then I'll smoke off for 4 hours as many as I can. These are spiritual disciplines. Hey, go back to Galatians again. Can you do that for me? I don't know how I got on this, but let me stay on it because the Holy Spirit has led me to this, okay? So stay with me a second. I'm speaking.
Hey, Coach, I can attest to that. I do the same thing with intermittent fasting. You know, I had a big, long discussion with my son. He's the one that, educated me about it, and he lost a lot of weight. But more than that, you're right. You don't have the craving for food anymore. If you only eat within that window, and I just think it sharpens you spiritually as well.
Glenn, I control my diet. My diet doesn't control me. I determine when I'm going to eat.
Right.
Now, remember this 16-hour fast. We're talking about 8 hours of it tonight. You're asleep for 8 hours of it. Right. So are we back at Galatians? Because I think this is important for us to. Hey, if you want to tune out, turn out. Go ahead. I don't care. Right? Excuse me. Let's go back up the top. Jared started about 16 again. But if you be led of the Spirit, 18, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. Hey, folks, if you're overweight, you did it to yourself. You're not under the law. You're not in control. And it says, here's the work of the flesh, which are many. Adultery, that's a decision. Fornication, that's a decision. Uncleanness, that's a decision. Lasciviousness, that's a decision. Lasciviousness basically means no control. Idolatry, that's a decision. You want to try something hard? What if you went on a cell phone fast? You find out how much you're addicted to that thing, right? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. These are all behaviors, man. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, overeating, gluttony, revilings, Facebook, YouTube, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, that they which do such things are not walking in the Spirit. They are not exercising their spiritual gifts. They are not inheriting the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against those things, you don't have to eat if you don't want to. You don't have to smoke. You don't have to lust. You don't have to do porn. You don't have to do anything, but you're going to have to make a decision that I'm going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to say no to all of these things that my fleshly carnal man wants. Just say no. You can do it. You can do it. Come on in, somebody. You can do it. I don't care what it is. You can do it.
Amen, Coach.
Coach, maybe, I'm not sure, maybe I missed listening, but I think that last one was supposed to be self-control.
Yeah.
And brother, that's the self-control, keeping ourselves in check, brother. You're absolutely spot on with a lot of this thing. And a lot of this is accountability. Accountability to whom? Who are you accountable to? Are you accountable to anybody?
True, Dale. But also, I'm accountable to the Holy Spirit. I just say the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'd like to have that piece of candy, but look, I said 2 o'clock, Lord. Okay, so I'll keep my word. 2 o'clock. I make myself accountable to the Holy Spirit. You can do it too. That's kingdom principles, folks. What is it you're doing? What's eating up all your time? You wish you weren't doing. Well, why are you still doing it? The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death. I don't have to follow my carnal man anymore. I don't have to do it. Don't have to do it. Hey, I don't have to be afraid about the coronavirus. I don't have to be afraid about it. I choose to do it. If you want to be afraid, go ahead. You don't have to. I don't have to be afraid of whether or not the stock market's going to fall. I can if I want to. I don't have to. I don't have to be afraid of that. I can make precautions so I don't have to. I could spend all my money. Then wouldn't even have to worry about all that stuff. I could give away all my money. And I wouldn't have to worry about all that stuff. What's causing your fear? What's causing your frustration? What's causing your strife? Well, Holy Spirit wants to walk you out of that. He wants to give you victory over that. Not just comfort you in the midst of it, although he'll do both. He wants to lead you out of it. You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What is lust? It's an almost uncontrollable physical urge. But it's not uncontrollable. We're just used to giving into it. That's all. Oh man! Oh man! Oh man! Oh man! I'm way off today. I mean, I'm not off target, but I'm way off. So I'm looking at my notes, thinking, "Lord, help me get this back on course here."
You know, Coach, we've been trained. We've been trained that way. Television, movies, yes. it's all. You know, the pants, the yep. yoga pants, spandex, all these little things, all part of the multi-pronged attack against us.
Vinny, I remember back. We were still in London, so it would have been like 1998 or 99. Abby, our oldest daughter, was in middle school, and I think I got it right. I can't remember. Anyway, the volleyball team started wearing these skin-tight spandex. Anybody remember those? Short, skin-tight spandex. And I told my wife, my daughter is never, if she has to wear those things to play volleyball, she's never going to play. She's never going to play. If they're going to turn her into an oogle station for the boys, she ain't ever going to play. And now it's commonplace. Hey, you guys, hey, folks, I shouldn't. Girls, Christian women, I think my wife has some of those, not yoga pants. She has some of those tight pants type things. But she always wears something over the top of it. She always covers it with a skirt or with. She doesn't go around showing people her monkey. Come on! Maybe I shouldn't call them. Yeah, sorry, Charlie. It isn't a monkey. I'm in trouble now.
Absolutely right, Coach. Absolutely right. Listen, I went to high school back when I was a child. It was the greatest thing. Girls walking around these spandex and these pants. I simply didn't know it was an attack upon my person.
That's right. And then, Vinny, when you say something about it or you make advance on it, then there's something wrong with you. Something
right.
Wrong.
Well, they call you.
They lay candy out there and ask you not to take a bite up.
Right. They either call you a pervert, Coach, or they call you a fag.
Yep. Hey, somebody rescue me here. I'm way off target today. We got about
four. Dave, I just wanted to come in, and I just kind of wanted to – the mindset that I think as parents what we have to have is that the more that someone shows you their body, the less really they have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no humility. Exactly. There's no humility. There's no blushing. There's no sense of value of your body to share it with someone else. It's freely given. You know, it's what I was saying. It's easier to have someone go to bed with you than it is for them to sew on a button on your shirt.
Yeah.
That's where we're at in America.
That's right. So Chad, we have an obligation to teach our daughters in particular, don't dress like that because of the temptation you're putting on men. Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, sweetheart, I see you. I think you look pretty good. I think so. And I can probably imagine it without you showing it to me. And really, out of fairness to me, please don't show it to me. Please don't do that to me. It's not fair. Not fair. And we don't teach our girls. See, we teach our girls to dress immodestly because we think it's godly to do that, and I agree. But we need to teach our daughters not to dress immodestly because of the temptation it brings to the men. We need to, again, our morality is focused today on how does it affect, it doesn't focus on how does it affect others. It only focuses on how it affects it. How does me wearing yoga pants affect him? Well, trust me, it does, right? So walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Anybody else? I feel like I'm out in the middle of nowhere right now. That's all right. Robert, maybe you can come in here and save me. What is today? March? God, I can't believe it. March 11th. Just a reminder, as many of you who would like to, who could, love to welcome you to our place on April 3rd and 4th, this weekend of April. I'm going to do some cleanup work up at Sky High. We'll have some fellowship. We'll eat some hamburgers. We'll tell some stories. We'll laugh and pat each other on the back and have a good old time. Not everybody has to come. I spoke to Mike Blake. His house is open. Some people want to stay there. So any of you that can come, April 3 and 4, we'll have a good weekend of fun, fellowship, a little bit of cleanup. And it's all good. It's all good. All good. Robert, you the man.
Okay. Yeah, this is a real good topic, Coach. It sort of reminds me of Matthew 4:1, where Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And the devil, first question to Jesus was, if you are the Son of God. So he tried to attack Jesus' identity. And so, if we know who we are in Christ and what Jesus did to overcome the devil, he called the truth. The devil had to leave. So but we had to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
March 11th says the devil won't leave you alone just because you go to church or have a religious bumper sticker on your car. Amen. You will have to resist him before he will go very far. Have to resist. Amen. Believe it or not, Satan is a defeated foe. It is a shame and inexcusable that so many so-called shepherds of churches fail to inform, instruct, and equip their sheep to be overcomers of Satan's world and to destroy his works. The good shepherd and Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He told Peter if he loved him, he would tend to his lambs and shepherd his sheep.
Wow.
If pastors only heed that instruction. Mm-hmm. We see many contemporary Christians sit in famished in the pews and malnourished in the world. Even in the, quote, growing and successful mega churches, we often see the mesmerized masses mega-dosed on pastoral pastries and the world's finest fast food religion.
Hmm.
Such a diet cannot produce strong soldiers of the cross. Thus, many of God's own die for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge and they have rejected truth by which they are sanctified. They refuse to be good servants of Jesus Christ, nourished on the words of faith and the sound doctrine. So we see God's people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged its throat and opened its mouth without measure. And Jerusalem's splendor, or you can actually say the picture of the church today, her multitude, her den of revelry, and the jubilant within her descend into Sheol, it says in Isaiah 5.
Right.
But not so with the militant, persevering, and overcoming people of God. They will feed on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Their diet is the inspired word of God, which makes them adequate and equipped for every good work. They overcome the devil, their accuser, and deceiver. They do not love the world, their former residents. Mm. They're now citizens of heaven, seated in the heavenlies.
Wow, that's what it says.
Yep, at the right hand of God. Yep. They overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They got to go out there and proclaim it. And they do not love their life even to death. They are fully convinced that those who suffer with Christ will also be glorified with him. They know that those who endure shall also reign with him. They claim the promise that momentary light affliction is producing for them an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So they don't fear, as you were saying, they don't fear what's going on now. This is a promise to be claimed in this life, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven life, and the hope to be realized in the next when he returns to be glorified in his saints on that day. So we are overcomers.
Folks, we don't, I guess I'm sitting there thinking about, as you were reading that, Robert, how little we really appropriate the ability to overcome sin. I was thinking about David Arthur, actually, as you were reading that. There can be nothing. The two greatest physical desires that a man has is to eat and procreate. Those two things are on the mind of a man almost continuously. Oh, that's stretching it. But you get what I'm saying, right? The desire to eat and the desire to have sex, both of which need to be controlled. So I'm thinking about this desire to eat. You get victory over what you put in your mouth and how often you put it in your mouth. Folks, that is a powerful victory, man. And if you can do that, if you can get victory over what you put in your mouth, what other thing of life can you not have control of? What? You walk into the airport, from the time you walk into the airport till you get to your gate, it's all food. Everybody constantly wants to eat. You control that, man, you're developing a spiritual discipline. And I was thinking about David Arthur. To totally change your sexual impulses? Holy, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? See, the idea that you're born that way, I was born a glutton, I guess. Our little grandbaby, little Annie, he's getting to be a pudgy little thing. All she wants to do is eat. And we say, that's okay. She's a grown little girl. Let her go. She'll be fine. Well, at some point, we're going to have to learn to help Annie get control of that desire to eat. She's only 1 year old, so we got some time to do it, right? But other than what you put in your mouth and what your desire to procreate, what are these other little foxes? The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What are these other little foxes in your life that are controlling you and you're not even aware of? Is it okay? I can tell this on my wife. I know her so well. We know each other so well. And I know how Michelle reacts when she gets frustrated. I know how she reacts towards me. And she was in one of those moods yesterday because she was stressed about something. And I've been around. I knew what it was. And so I just said to her, why do you get mad at me when you get stressed? And she just kind of stopped. And it brought to attention that she was taking it out on me. And she quit. Like almost immediately it quit. So we have a lot of these little things that we are doing, that we are prisoners to, that we are, if we are walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill those things. We won't do that. We got to quit making excuses for ourselves and say, well, that's just the way that I am. Do you ever try to pick something in your life that you're not happy with? Thank you, Lord. I just heard that about me. Thank you, Lord. And say, you know what? I'm going to get victory over that. I'm going to get victory over that. What is it in your life that's causing relationships to be in turmoil? Your joy to be stolen? Love, joy, peace? What is it? Because the trigger, the follow back, the steps probably are going to connect you to something regarding the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, all of which can be conquered if you're walking in the kingdom and being led by the Spirit. All of them can. So this isn't a feel good. I didn't mean to have a feel good sermon today. But a lot of the stuff that we're having that's injuring us or tripping us up in our walk are just spiritual disciplines that we have to get control of. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Ah, what a story that is. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.